When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yesterday's Concert is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Grab your earplugs for another episode of Yesterday's Concert, a podcast that celebrates live music. My name is Lance Ingram, and in this episode we talk to Sam and Clay from the band Mapache. We discuss their new album, Swinging Stars, and the recording process that got them there. Plus, we talk about their instrument selection to perfectly accentuate their music. I'm here with Mapache. Guys, you want to introduce yourselves?
Hi, this is Clay.
And this is Sam.
Thanks, guys. I'm excited to talk about your new album, Swinging Stars. But first, as is traditional on the show, we like to start with a few icebreakers. So my first one for you, because you guys have such beautiful harmonies, I want to know, who are your favorite harmonizers?
That's a tough one. I guess off the top of my head, some that come to mind are Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and
Lubin Brothers. Yeah. I like Lubin Brothers.
Good one.
The Impressions.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'd say those are the ones that come to mind right off the bat.
I love it. And Sam, was that you that said the Lubin Brothers?
Yeah.
Man, it's a great choice.
I've never thought of the group specifically as harmonizing groups necessarily. That's cool. So it kind of takes a second to think about it. Mostly just, I feel like we're just inspired by different songs and records, you know, and groups. But thinking specifically about harmonizers, I think the Lubin Brothers come to mind.
I love it. That's good. I asked another band that same question a couple of days ago, and we started talking about the Eagles and just how amazing the fact that they could still harmonize after they brought Joe Walsh in. And it's just it was no small feat to get him to harmonize with their already beautiful harmonies. And so that's what, when I started listening to you guys, I was like, oh, we gotta see what they think about all this too. So
yeah, it's amazing they could harmonize after all that nose candy too.
I'm sure they don't know what you're talking about. So next question. You obviously draw from Neil Young. So I'm curious, what's one Neil Young song that you would like to steal, put your name on it, and say that you wrote and produced, put it out into the world?
Damn. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any that I would want to do that with.
Whoa.
There's a lot of songs by Neil Young that I love, but I don't think any that I would want to change or to make my own in any way. You know, I think they're pretty untouchable, a lot of them.
I mean more in the sense of like you take everything Neil did and you put your name on it. It's yours to claim as your own. You don't have to change anything. Like, it's just yours as Neil wrote it. Something that you're so proud of, like, or so amazed by that he wrote, you would love to claim as your own.
You know, what do you think, Clay? Do you have a favorite that you would pick for that?
I think I would steal Long May You Run. I didn't know that song was about a car for a long time, and I learned that it was about a car, and it blew my mind again. I mean, I just think it's a great song.
That is a good one.
How much of Neil's discography has to be about cars? I mean, he's got entire albums named after cars. I mean, he's got to be up there with them.
I definitely steal one of his cars.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, Sam, are you sticking to it? You're not going to claim one?
Oh, I'll either do Long May You Run or any one of his cars.
Okay, I'll take it. All right, so last one, and because I know you guys are also Grateful Dead fans, I want to know, what's the best year of Grateful Dead live performances in your opinion?
Oh man, I'm really bad at this. I don't know much about the years particularly.
What about, could we look at it as like pianist? Would a pianist help?
Oh yeah, I think I really like the Pigpen years.
Really?
Pigpen's Yeah, I think he's probably my favorite pianist, but I don't really know all of them. I think there were a lot of pianists in that group, like over the years, a lot to pick from, but.
Yeah, the three main one were like Pigpen, Keith, and Brent were kind of the three main ones. And then you had, you know, Revolving Door, especially in the late 80s, early 90s, and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can totally get behind Pigpen. Clay, what about you?
I'd have to say 73, 74.
Mm-hmm. What about
But it's hard. I like the Pigpen stuff, but I feel like they were just making really sweet music then. It was like still had the rawness and but it seemed like everybody, I have no idea, but it seemed like everybody was still like really stoked and like no one was getting too fucked up on hard drugs or anything, and like seemed like a very positive time, and you can kind of hear it in the music.
Yeah,
and like the playing answer. Is just insane.
Yeah, I like that answer. That's I was listening to a 73 show just the other day, and I was just thinking about like what a great time in the band that was. Really good answer.
So, they just released like this demo of Eyes of the World. It's really cool.
I saw that. I was going to look into it. I think they're reissuing the whole album somehow, or doing like a bunch of demo bonus content or something with it. I was looking at that. That's pretty cool. I think they've done it for a couple of the albums so far.
I think it's like the 50-year anniversary. Okay. We're kind of going through it now. Like it'll be 2073 will be 50 years ago this year. So I think,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, so to talk about you guys instead of some other bands for a minute, I want to talk about the new album. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it's perhaps your best one yet. There's a lot of versatility on it, but still staying fairly consistent through all five of your records. But reading kind of up about the history of it and stuff, you haven't talked too extensively about it, but can you tell me, you went to a specific location to record it. Can you kind of give me the story of going there and why you chose this place and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's a studio up in Marin, in West Marin, in Stinson Beach. And it's a really cool studio, kind of living. It's like a converted, it's an old house that they converted into a music studio. And yeah, it's just in a pretty unreal location, like geographically. It's kind of on a hill overlooking West Marin and the ocean. And yeah, it's just a really vibey place to be. And it's cool that everyone sleeps there. So everyone is under arrest. No one can leave. Everyone is fully invested. No one can, no one gets to like dip out and go make dinner. It's fun. Everyone
fully arrested. Together.
And it's a cool spot. And
how long was
it? It definitely would be the setting of a sort of musical band related horror film.
Like the Studio 666, the Foo Fighters put out.
Oh, well, yeah. I never saw that, but amazing. Probably along the same lines. There's like a reverb dungeon that looks pretty dungeony.
No, like it's literally just made for reverb. Tell me about this. That's amazing.
I think it's just, or am I remembering this wrong, Clay? I think it's like where the reverb tank is or something.
The original house was built by like kind of a eccentric, kind of half crazy veteran guy, and that was when the hills of like West Marin they're I suppose always kind of vulnerable for attacks, like from anyone coming from the east. Like there's all these crazy old gun turrets and stuff up there, so there's a huge tunnel, and I think it's like an escape tunnel or like a nuclear bomb shelter, or like it's just a crazy long cement underground tunnel, for escaping or like, being paranoid or just being really scary or reverb.
So what, I mean, that sounds kind of horrifying. So what are the vibes in this building? I mean, were you picking up on some of that kind of stuff?
I mean, it's transformed a lot since then. I think it's pretty like pleasant location to be now. Not a lot of paranoia or, things of that nature, but I think it was built probably on those vibes. But it's very, very peaceful place. No bad spirits that I could detect.
I got you.
It was
cool.
It was good.
Yeah. Well, how long were y'all there? Let me ask this. Did y'all write and record there or just record there?
Just record.
Okay. We so were the there songs for, were done when you went into it.
Yeah, songs were done. We rehearsed them before and then we went up for like, what was it, 5 days or 6 days, I think.
Yeah.
And we just did it mostly live and then overdubbed a few little things here and there.
So how much did the atmosphere of that place did it change any of the songs that you had already had done, or did you feel the influence of the space around you, or was it, I mean, just a good comfy space to get it done?
I think it fit the vibes that we had written down. I think that it fit our personalities well and fit sort of the energy of the band at the time. So the songs we had written kind of mended nicely with the location.
Just kind of accentuated the music.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we had written everything beforehand, so it was very much sort of just went in there to sort of lay them down. But I think, you know, we chose that place pretty much purely on its location because of how special it is up there. But, you know, as a studio itself, it's nothing like extraordinarily state of the art or, you know, anything that you can't find necessarily anywhere else except for where it's located and the scenery that's around it. So we definitely used it for that. And the songs we had, I think, were a good fit for it, you know.
Well, the reason I ask that is because, I mean, it's an atmospheric album. And I don't necessarily mean so much on the production side of it, like, you know, like a lot of kind of like throwback or retro bands kind of do. But it's got a lot of atmospheric aspects to it that really stand out. And that's, I just wondered how much of that played into it in the recording process, but it sounds like a lot of that was already there before you got into the building.
Yeah, I'd say that's true.
So, I mean, let's talk about it like this then. So I read that as you guys were writing the album, you were living in separate cities. So this was one of the projects where you kind of wrote everything separately rather than doing it all together. Is that true? Or how did y'all write the album?
Yeah, pretty much. Most of the material, I think, was written individually. And then we sort of brought it together and finished up certain ideas. Some of them stayed completed as they were before. And then we sort of like fleshed some of the other ones out. It's fleshed out, right? That's the way you say that?
I think so. Flesh. That sounds good.
I'm never saying that again. I didn't even realize that was flesh. That's horrible. Yeah, we finished up some of the ideas together, but. Yeah,
I feel like whenever we, you know, if we're playing together, there's always, we always kind of like everybody adds something. So yeah, but most of the songs were written more individually, but yeah, everybody, you know, Sam will always add, you know, a harmony or like, you know, everyone's just all play a guitar thing or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I asked that because, I mean, you each kind of have your own individualistic style when you go your own way, and I kind of detected some of that in this album, that it shines a little bit more on this album than the previous works. And so I was just curious about how you kind of brought that together into the band and how that gelled and how you still made such a cohesive album, even with bringing your own individualistic styles when you wrote separately this time. So can you speak to that?
Well, I was just going to say that I think it's compared to a lot of our other records, it feels a bit more eclectic in its different styles and sort of different personalities. So it feels very much like collaborative in the sense that there's a lot of like individuality brought together on it, you know, since it is one that was mostly like created or written separately. There's a lot of sort of individual personalities from each member of the band that sort of come out in different ways. And that's kind of a new type of collaboration that we hadn't really done before that I feel like was notable on this one.
I was just going to say, I just feel like we've been playing together for so long. We know each other pretty well at this point that I feel like the cohesiveness is kind of natural, no matter like how the songs kind of come to be. You know, I feel like we just complement each other well. You know, we've just been playing together for so long that I think it's pretty easy for us to gel.
Yeah, at this point, we pretty much finish each other's
sentences.
Good job. Way to go, guys. I like that. Well, that's what I'm wondering is when you, as you're writing, knowing that you're writing songs for this project, do you have the mentality of like, hey, Clay's going to be able to add this or Sam's going to be able to add this? Is that something that you're consciously aware of as you're writing, or is it more just let the muse take control and see what happens and then bring it to the band and work it out from there?
It kind of depends, I guess, but I can definitely think of plenty of times where I thought, this is where Sam will come in and, you know, clean this up or, you know, finish this or fix this, or he'll have an idea how to do that.
I think a lot of it is we know how each other works musically. And so when we do bring it together, it seems quite natural that things get fleshed out. But I think we're not super conscious or, you know, not always thinking about it in the moment when we're writing. I think we kind of just let it go and just sort of experiment and come up with something and then bring it together. And then it sort of unfolds naturally.
Yeah. I want to go back to kind of the atmospherics of the album. You know, like I was kind of talking about, like you have some of these retro artists that use so much production value in getting that sound. But with you guys, it really feels like it's more the instrumentation. Like, there's one song that has a wind instrument pretty heavily featured and the piano throughout, and then even just like the pedal steel. So I was wondering if you could talk about the use of instruments as you're writing these songs to kind of create that atmosphere that that just kind of envelops your sound.
I mean, I guess I would just say it's not necessarily like a vintage sound that we're going for, but just, you know, more turns out that like our favorite instruments and sounds were more popular maybe at a different time. Like, I just love the sound of pedal steel guitar. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to hear it and use it in songs just because I love it. Not maybe as much because it will give it like a 70s vibe or something. Although I suppose it does because, you know, there was a lot of pedal steel and big songs in the 70s, but I would just say I think it's more of a just like a musical kind of, I don't know, sort of intuitive leaning
Let me reframe that question a little bit for you. I'm not necessarily meaning like in the vintage sound. I'm thinking of another interview I did with the Ruin Brothers where they have a very like 1950s kind of sound to them, and they use a lot of production techniques to get that sound, and I was using that as an example. I'm thinking more of like you guys have like kind of a Western-y, it sounds like you're in the desert. It sounds like you're in a folk kind of environment. And so that's what I'm meaning when I talk about like the atmospherics of it. You're using the instruments to meet that sound, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
I'd say that's definitely accurate. I think each song calls for different instrumentation and we sort of take each one as they come and put the instruments on there as they feel right.
Clay, does that change kind of how you feel about the question?
I guess I would echo what Sam says. Yeah.
Okay. Well, as we kind of start to wrap up, I want to focus on two specific songs that really stood out to me. The first one was French Kissed. Great, catchy, hooky song. Can you kind of tell me the history of that song, how it kind of came to be?
Yeah, I wrote that song in Long Beach when I was house sitting for some good friends of mine that lived there. And they had a piano in their living room. And I didn't really have a piano where I was living. And I hadn't really messed around too much on the piano necessarily before that. And so it was like, I know I just sort of like had a nice little vacation getting to know the piano a little bit. I don't know. I just sort of came from that. I think just having a new instrument was exciting to mess around with, you know. I mean, I had played a little piano before, but I had never really like written songs on pianos or anything like that. And so it was just kind of a fun new brand new thing to sort of experiment with. And I think that maybe has some sort of exciting, fun, you know, upbeat energy in it from that, maybe. I don't know.
Were there any other songs that kind of came out of that experience with the piano? Were there other songs that you thought, hey man, a piano would just really fit on this song because you had that time?
Yeah, in that week or so that I was staying there, that same week, I think there's another song called Ghosts that I wrote on there on that same piano in that same time. I'm trying to think of what else is on the record. There were a handful that sort of just came out of that little week. So yeah, it sort of was a little, I think because it was so new, it was just like very, felt very fresh and was sort of easy to, I don't know, felt all these new ideas coming out since it was such a new experience on a new instrument, you know.
Well, that's, Ghost was actually the other song that I want to talk about because it has such a, like a jammy vibe to it. Not like in the sense of like a jam band, but it's like a, I mean, it's very much like a Neil Young, you know, Tonight's the Night kind of thing, or, you know, Time mm-hmm. Fades Away kind of vibe to it. And so I was just wondering where the looseness and everything of that song came from.
Well, that one we did live. I mean, most of the songs we did fully live. Some of them had a few overdubs in there, but that one I think was fully live, if I'm not mistaken. But so I think that gives it that kind of, you know, the energy you're talking about, very loose and sort of a bit sort of rowdy and kind of not fully reined in. And so we kind of liked that vibe going into it. We were sort of hoping to get that kind of energy on the recording. So that's kind of why we went about it that way.
And so did you say you wrote it that same weekend when you were house sitting, or was it just kind of something that came later? Okay. So it was, okay.
Yeah. No, there were a handful that were in that same week, the French Kiss and that one.
Was it just those two or were there other ones?
I can't remember. I don't even know what. I feel like this record was so long ago now, it feels like. I have to like revisit the track listing, although I don't even can't remember what happened like
people,
a month ago.
People, so. Please.
I think that one was actually was. Maybe it's just those two. I don't know. But I feel like there was, I don't know.
I mean, maybe how long ago did y'all record this?
Was a while ago.
A year and a half ago?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Why have you been sitting on it for so long?
Just takes a while for everything to come into,
if it was possible, I think we'd get it out soon, you know, mm-hmm. soon as we record it, basically. But yeah, I think just with label stuff and
yeah,
just ends up taking a little while.
Was so it in February, I think, right? We recorded it February of 2020. Sounds right.
Yeah.
So you probably had a lot of these songs written in 21, right?
Some of them, I think, in 2020 and some of them in 2021, and then recorded them in early 2022, and they're coming out late summer 2023.
I mean, as an artist, so how does it feel? Yeah, I mean, but like as an artist, how does it feel to sit on the songs for that long and to have that kind of long of a process? I mean, like you said, you didn't even remember, you don't even remember what the track listing is. How, I mean, do you feel a disconnect from your art in that?
No, I think it's, I mean, we've kind of accepted at this point that that's, you know, it takes some time to get things out to the world, and it's still new to a lot of people that have never heard it. And for us, we just, you know, keep going. It doesn't like slow us down or anything. We just keep writing and making new stuff. But the only problem is we can't remember too well what we did, you know, 2 years later. But other than that, it's okay. I mean, we've kind of accepted the timetable and we just keep writing and keep making new stuff. Yeah. We get it out when we can.
So I guess you're already working on LP6 then, I can assume.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Well, so I mean, we're sort of always just working on new stuff. So
good.
Wherever it ends up, LP6 or LP7 or whatever, we're always kind of working on songs. It's just kind of what we do.
I got you. Well, since both of those songs were Sam songs, Clay, you did What a Summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me.
Yeah, that one is just kind of a song about just reflecting on your life, like kind of when you wake up in the morning and you're kind of like still half asleep and you have that ability to like recall, like you get flashes of memory that are super vivid, you know, like old houses that you lived in, or, you know, just like weird, really vivid memories. And yeah, and it was just kind of like, you know, crazy pandemic times and just kind of reflecting on the kind of overwhelming, just like, you know, state of the world. And yeah, just reflecting on life. It was just kind of a song about memories, I guess.
Is that kind of a general theme you find yourself writing in?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you think it is about that kind of area that attracts you to songwriting?
I think it's kind of like a soft spot, or, you know, like a sweet place, or, you know, nostalgia and yeah, you know, memories, and it's usually the stuff that's significant or that you would want to write a song about is the kind of stuff that sticks with you, you know, that you'd want to, yeah, the kind of stuff that you think about when you sit down and you are starting to write, the kind of stuff that comes up, you know?
Well, and that makes me wonder, going back to your comment about pedal steel, you just saying you like pedal steel, so you want to include it in your songs. I mean, is that kind of the same nostalgia attachment, you think?
I just think pedal steel is really emotive and just a really pretty instrument. Mm-hmm. I don't think I necessarily like it for a nostalgic effect, but more that it just has this kind of like singing quality.
Maybe you heard a lot of steel in the womb.
I suppose that's possible. Maybe it's your past life.
Will your parents listen to a lot of New Riders of the Purple Sage or that band?
Not really.
Well, guys, as we wrap up, I just want to say thank you for chatting today. Swinging Stars is fantastic. It's a great addition to your discography. I think people are going to love it. So I just want to say thanks for chatting today.
Yeah. Thanks for chatting with us.
Absolutely. I'm Lance Ingram, and this is Yesterday's Concert. Thanks for listening to another episode of my show. For more live music podcasts, and check out our other show, Jam Journals. If you're feeling kind, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and check us out on all the social media platforms. Email us at info@yesterdaysconcert.com or visit our website, yesterdaysconcert.com. So until next time, give us a subscribe, tell your friends, and most importantly, take care of your shoes.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.